We're going to be talking about a chapter from the free and peer-reviewed textbook Orthopedia at www.orthopedia.com by Bernstein, Penny, and Vallette. But before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book. Today we're diving into a pretty common injury you'll see on your rotations, Achilles tendon ruptures. Now, you probably heard the term, but do you really understand the mechanics of what's going on in there? That's what we're going to unpack today to help with the diet. I've got expert speaker here ready to delve into the world of the Achilles tendon.
I think it's best to start with a solid understanding of ankle functional anatomy, specifically how the ankle works as a hinge joint.
Okay, so back to the basics. It's easy to forget how crucial those fundamentals are.
Exactly. We can simplify the ankle as a hinge joint between the tibia and the foot, allowing for two main movements, dorsiflexion when you bring your toes up and plantar flexion when you point them down.
So like a door swinging back and forth.
Yeah. The perfect analogy now, plantar flexion, that pointing the toes motion is powered by some major players in your calf. The gastrocnemius and soleus muscles, they connect to your heel bone, the calcaneus via the Achilles tendon. This tendon allows us to push off the ground, walk, run, jump, all that good stuff.
This is where it gets interesting for me. If simply moving the ankle from plantar flexion to dorsiflexion doesn't tear the tendon, what actually causes a rupture? I mean, we dorsiflex our ankles all the time.
That's a great observation, and it highlights a common misconception. The key here is a concept called eccentric contraction. It's not just about how far the muscle stretches, but about the force it exerts while stretching. Imagine your muscles are trying to shorten, but at the same time, they're being forced to lengthen.
Okay, so maybe an example would help.
Think about running downhill to control your speed and prevent yourself from face planting your core. Your calf muscles have to work extra hard to slow down the downward motion of your foot. That's eccentric contraction at play.
So it's like slamming on the brakes while your car is accelerating.
Precisely. And in the case of the Achilles, a rupture usually happens when you have a forceful dorsiflexion of the ankle. While the calf muscles are engaged in this eccentric contraction, that sudden force can overwhelm the tendon, leading to a tear.
So it's this combination of stretch and forceful contraction that's the real culprit, not just the movement itself.
Exactly. And to reiterate, before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book.
Always good advice. Now, I know we see Achilles tendon ruptures more often in middle-aged adults. Is that simply because they're more active and prone to these kinds of injuries?
That's part of it, but there's a more insidious factor at play. As we age, our tendons can start to degenerate. They lose some of their elasticity and become more susceptible to tearing. Meanwhile, our muscles tend to get stronger as we age, at least up to a point. So you have this unfortunate overlap where you have peak muscle strength coinciding with increasing tendon vulnerability.
So it's like this perfect storm for a rupture, strong muscles putting stress on a weakening tendon.
That's a great way to put it. And that's why understanding the age-related changes in our bodies is so crucial in orthopedics.
This is all fascinating stuff. It really paints a clearer picture of how these ruptures happen.
And we're just getting started. But before we move on, I want to emphasize, before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book.
Right. You are. Now, I'm curious to dig deeper into what this actually looks like in practice, but we'll save that for the next part of our deep dive.
So you're curious to see what a ruptured Achilles tendon actually looks like.
Exactly. I mean, we've talked about the mechanics, but I'm having trouble visualizing this tear. Is it always a clean break, or can it be more messy?
Well, imagine the Achilles tendon as this thick, rope-like structure made of collagen fibers. It connects those powerful calf muscles to the heel bone. Now, when a rupture occurs, these fibers tear. Sometimes it is a clean transverse tear, like someone sliced through it with a scalpel.
Okay, so a clean break straight across, I can picture that.
But other times, it can be more irregular, jagged edges surrounding inflammation. Think of it like a frayed rope, and imaging techniques like ultrasound and MRI allow us to see the extent of the tear, whether it's complete or partial, and the location of the tear.
Speaking of location, are there any patterns to where these tears typically happen?
Absolutely. Most Achilles tendon ruptures occur about 2 to 6 centimeters above the heel bone. It's known as the watershed zone.
Watershed zone? That sounds ominous.
It is a bit. This area has a relatively poor blood supply compared to other parts of the tendon, making it more vulnerable to injury and slower to heal.
So it's not just about the mechanics of the injury, but also the inherent properties of the tendon itself. Fascinating.
It really highlights how crucial anatomy is in orthopedics. And speaking of orthopedia, before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book.
Always good advice. Achilles tendon rupture in the clinic.
Well, believe it or not, a good physical exam is often all you need. One classic test is the Thompson test, surprisingly simple but effective.
All right, walk me through it.
Picture your patient lying face down, feet dangling off the edge of the exam table. You simply squeeze the calf muscles and observe what happens to the foot.
Okay, so I'm squeezing the calf. What am I looking for?
In a healthy ankle, squeezing the calf should cause the foot to plantar flex, that pointing down motion we talked about earlier. But with a ruptured Achilles, that connection is broken. The foot will just hang there, limp, no plantar flexion.
So it's like the signal from the calf muscle to the foot is interrupted.
Exactly. Of course, imaging can confirm the diagnosis and give more details, but that simple physical exam can tell you a lot.
It's amazing how much information we can gather from just observing the body.
It is, and it speaks to the power of a thorough physical exam.
Now, once the tendon is torn, how does it actually repair itself? What's going on at the cellular level?
Well, the body has an incredible ability to heal, and tendon healing is a complex process. Imagine it like this: when the tendon tears, the body initiates this inflammatory response. It's like sending out an SOS signal. Cells rush to the site of injury, cleaning up damaged tissue and laying down new collagen fibers, the building blocks of tendons.
It's like the body's own construction crew coming in to rebuild the damaged structure.
A great analogy: over time, these new collagen fibers align and organize along the lines of stress, slowly restoring the tendon's strength and function.
That's amazing, but I imagine this process takes time.
It definitely does. Tendon healing is a slow and gradual process. Think weeks to months for a ruptured Achilles to fully heal. But that healing process, the way the body orchestrates this intricate repair, is what I find truly fascinating. And if you're interested in diving deeper into the cellular intricacies before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book.
You're right, there's always more to learn, and I think this deep dive is a perfect example of how a seemingly simple injury can be incredibly complex and fascinating when you look under the surface.
Exactly. It highlights how much we still don't know, and that's what makes this field so exciting.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this part, from visualizing the rupture to the body's intricate repair process. But there's still more to explore, right?
There is. And in our final part, we'll delve into some additional factors that can impact Achilles tendon health.
We're back for our final part on this Achilles tendon deep dive. We've talked about the anatomy, the mechanics of a rupture, and how the body repairs itself. But I'm sure there's even more to uncover.
There's always more to learn, isn't there? We focused on age as a risk factor, but other factors can increase the likelihood of an Achilles rupture.
Okay, so beyond age, what else should we be aware of?
Well, certain medications have been linked to an increased risk, fluoroquinolone antibiotics, for example, and corticosteroids.
Interesting. I wouldn't have necessarily made that connection.
It's something to consider, especially when prescribing these medications to patients who are already at higher risk athletes, for example, or those with a history of tendon problems. It's all about careful consideration and weighing the risks and benefits for each patient.
That makes sense. Speaking of athletes, are certain sports more likely to put stress on the Achilles tendon?
Absolutely. Activities that involve a lot of jumping and sudden changes in direction, basketball, tennis, volleyball, those can put significant strain on the Achilles.
I can see how those quick movements and impacts could increase the risk.
Exactly. And it's not just professional athletes. Even weekend warriors who enjoy a pickup basketball game or a challenging hike can be at risk, especially if they aren't properly conditioned.
So it's all about knowing your limits and gradually increasing activity levels.
And listening to your body, any persistent pain or discomfort in the Achilles tendon should be taken seriously. It's always best to err on the side of caution and seek medical attention if something feels off. Remember, before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us. Read the book.
Sound advice. This deep dive has been truly eye-opening. We've gone from the basic anatomy of the ankle to the intricate cellular processes involved in tendon healing.
It really highlights the complexity of the human body, doesn't it? And how even seemingly simple movements can involve this intricate interplay of muscles, tendons, and bones.
Absolutely. Well, expert speaker, I want to thank you for guiding us through this fascinating world of the Achilles tendon.
It's been my pleasure. I'm always happy to geek out about anatomy.
And to our listeners, we hope you've enjoyed this exploration as well. We've just discussed a chapter from the most excellent free and peer-reviewed textbook, Orthopedia, available at www.orthopedia.com by Bernstein, Pinney, and Vallette. And again, before you take a test, and certainly before you take care of a patient, don't rely on us reading the book.